Know thy neighbor.
Welcome to Know Thy Neighbors. I'm Heather Kelt-Scott, and along with my co-host Gail Scott, we are helping you get to know your neighbors in Cranberry. In this episode, we are interviewing the first couple to be on the podcast together, Sally and Pat O'Grady. If you don't know them, you certainly know where they live. On Cranberry Yard Sale Day, their house on South Main Street has the biggest yard sale. And funny enough, like everything we talk about kind of goes back to yard sales. So listen for our upcoming conversation with them right now.
All right, we're going to start with the hard questions. How long have you two lived here?
Well, I lived in Cranberry first. I moved in 86.
Okay, from where?
I was living with my parents in Princeton. Uh-huh. Prior to that, I lived in Florida, and prior to that, Chicago area.
Okay, and what about you, Sally? Well, roughly.
88.
I moved in 1988.
Okay.
And I moved in with Pat on our house on Station Road. We have a two-family house on Station Road that we still own and rent out. And I moved in there, and we were married in 1990.
Okay.
And so I've been here since 88.
Why Cranberry? Why did you come here?
Because he was here.
But you were in Princeton.
Yes, why did you come to Cranberry?
Yeah, I didn't know Cranberry before coming here. And the realtor I was working with, she took me to a couple places on Maplewood. I said, well, this looks like a nice town.
Yeah.
And she showed me the two family on Station Road, and I was interested in investment property. Uh-huh. So it fit that need.
Okay. And you two weren't dating at that time?
No, I didn't meet Sal until 2 years later.
How'd you meet?
Blind date.
Oh, really?
From a friend who introduced us because she knew we both liked yard sales.
And oh, we are going to have to talk about that.
I am still passionate about yard sales, and Pat likes yard sales, but uh-huh. He only went to yard sales when he needed things.
So your first date was a yard sale?
No, our first date was at Conti's in Princeton.
Okay.
And then we walked down to, after we had pizza, we walked down to the bar that used to be the bowling alley in Princeton.
Uh-huh.
Casa Lupita's, I think.
It was Casa Lupita's at the time, and we had a couple of margaritas or something. And
So how long from your first date to when you got married?
2 years.
Okay. Now, if you want to ask how long were we engaged before we were married, that was just a month.
Okay.
We got engaged on Valentine's Day and married on St. Patrick's Day.
Uh-huh.
To Patrick O'Grady, my father Pat, at St. Anthony's in Hightstown.
That was appropriate.
Yeah.
I wore, everything was white except my stockings had green shamrocks on them.
I love it. But you're not Irish.
I'm not Irish. My name is Irish.
Okay, it is now. Was it always Irish?
My original name was a long Polish name that my father changed after college. He didn't like his name, so it was changed, and my name was changed to Dawson, so my maiden name is Dawson.
Oh, that's interesting.
D-A-W-S-O-N.
Okay, that does not sound Polish at all. Mm.
It's not, he just picked it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So tell us more about your family. I know you just had a family reunion.
That was actually all Pat's family. Pat's the oldest of eight, and his parents live in Meadow Lakes. And all eight of the siblings were here. It was instigated because the sibling from Massachusetts was heading down to Tennessee for a family reunion on her husband's side of the family. And so they were going to be here one day and one day only. And several of the families are within driving distance. So when they were all coming, and we knew they were all coming, and the one from Massachusetts was coming, and then the one from Florida, the in-law was coming. My sister-in-law was coming, but my brother-in-law, who's actually Pat's brother, we talked him into coming. And then there was only one left, and those are the ones from North Carolina. And that was tough because he lives in the Outer Banks, and he has a kayak business, and it's his high season. But he came. Mm-hmm. We came, so all eight of the siblings were here.
Oh, great. And you got a lot of pictures.
There were 27 family members there. There were 11 missing. And that was mostly the 20s and 30s generation.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then what about your family?
My family still live in the area. I have a sister in Princeton, a brother in Pennington, and I have a brother in Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania. And my mom is over at Stonebridge in Montgomery in the continuing care. And I see them from time to time.
Okay.
So we're going to get right back to your yard sales, because that's how, like, a lot of people will know you from your yard sales. That's like everybody sees you have the biggest yard sale on you know, Cranberry Yard Sale Day. How did you get into like liking yard sales and then deciding that you were going to have the biggest yard sales ever?
Well, I've been going to yard sales ever since I was a child. It was something my family did every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember driving down the road, sitting in the back seat, and my father driving and yelling out to my... This was before Google Maps or any of that stuff, and my father would yell out, numbers, 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 are we close yet? Like, let's say it was 57 something, and he'd be like, numbers, what are the numbers? So I can remember that. And we actually got one of our pet cats at a yard sale. Our cat had died, and we wanted a new kitten, and so we went to a yard sale, and someone had free kittens, and we got a cat that we named Quincy, C-O-I-N-C-Y, for coincidence, a cat named Quincy. And so I've been going ever since, and I started collecting things.
So do you have any techniques for yard sailing? I mean, there are people who get there the day before and so on. What's your strategy?
I could write a book. I really should write a book about yard sales.
What are a couple tips?
Well, I don't go the day before because I think that's really obnoxious. People are really setting up and they're busy, but I will go first thing in the morning, and I'll try to bundle things instead of buying one thing at a time. I'll try to get a bunch of things and then get them all together and then bargain them down. Always, it never hurts to bargain. It's always fine to bargain. People can always say no. And I have in my mind a price that I want to pay. And if they don't want to come down, then I don't buy it.
Do you ever get any antiques roadshow type real finds?
Not that I can recall at yard sales. I used to work at the Princeton Hospital rummage sale that they had for 100 years. Actually, they had it for 100 years, and then Princeton Hospital was taken over by Penn Medicine, and they just did away with it, so I don't do that anymore, but I volunteered there for years, and I did get some nice gold jewelry from them. But see, the thing is that I don't need anything, but I collect everything. So if you name it, I collect it. I mean, thimbles, paperweights, cups and saucers, Christmas things, there are collections. And
we see them all around
us. All those jars up there.
We're in their living room, and you can see.
In my dining room, I have all my collections, yeah. And so...
rulers.
Yardsticks. They're yardsticks. I collect yardsticks.
How do you decide like what you want to sell at your own garage sale versus what you're going to keep?
So my own yard sales, the reason that I have so much stuff at my own yard sales is because people know that I have a large yard sale every year. And literally starting the day of the townwide yard sale, people start giving me stuff. They say, I have this leftover from my yard sale, do you want it? Or we go around and we'll drive around or Pat likes to ride his bike around and takes his backpack and people put stuff out on a free pile. So we'll take stuff. So luckily I have space in my garage and the attic of my garage and in my basement and in my sun porch where I just store all these things, and then I have a lot of stuff.
If stuff doesn't sell at your yard sale, what happens?
I might pack up one or two boxes, but I usually donate it all.
Okay.
I do not put it in the dump.
So are you still enthusiastic about yard sales, Pat?
Not to the degree I used to be.
Yeah?
No, like Sally said, I was going to garage sales to furnish my home. And once I was furnished, I didn't
have the need. You're not a collector?
Not really, no.
Lawnmowers, maybe?
Gas grills,
I think, yeah.
Record albums. He likes
right,
record albums.
Right, right. Okay.
Oh, and DVDs and CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds. He has hundreds.
So which do you like better, like going to yard sales or having your own?
Well, I like them both, but I really like going because you never know what you're going to find. You just never know what treasures you're going to find.
Sure.
And right now, with my garden I have in the back, I buy all kinds of things that you wouldn't think belong in a garden, but I put them in my garden.
Let's talk about the bowling balls, for instance.
Like bowling balls. I have a whole path line with bowling balls in my garden, and someone asked me recently when I gave up bowling, and I said, I never started. I get them all at yard sales.
So a lot of people do know about the secret garden in the back here, but a lot of people probably don't. Also, like, tell everyone about this awesome garden in your backyard.
Well, we live on South Main Street, and it is at the intersection of Cranberry Neck Road, and that backs up to Heritage Park. And we have an acre property. We're blessed to have an acre property on Main Street, and the majority of it is behind the house and backs up to Heritage Park. So when we moved in, it was totally overgrown with English ivy and dead trees and stuff like that. And that my children, who were 2, 4, and 6 at the time, loved making forts out there and playing it, and they didn't want it to be gardens. But little by little, they grew up and went away, and we turned it more into gardens. And I have all kinds of whimsical things out there. I have their paths all through it. I have loads of benches, loads of birdhouses. There's a plastic shoebox by my wooden arch that is the main entrance from Heritage Park, and that has 3 different scavenger hunts for people to do when they're there. And it has a little book for people to sign, because I don't always know that they're in the garden.
And people are welcome to come all the time.
People are welcome to come all the time. And people have asked me, oh, this is so great. They've said, have you not wanted it to be in like New Jersey Monthly Magazine or a news show or the Cranberry Press? And I've said, no, I really prefer the word of mouth kind of thing. I don't want it to get so big that it's a tourist attraction.
Right.
Although if you look on the website, if you Google Heritage Park, which someone told me about and I didn't know, if you Google Heritage Park to find out about different parks, someone has said, make sure you visit the children's garden that's off of it, and there are loads of pictures of things in my garden there.
Did that have an impact? You get more people after that, or probably don't know when it went up?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
And 90% of the people that come now are with someone else.
Right.
So if it's 2 of them or 4 of them, whatever, at least one of them has been there before. So I always ask them, have you been here before? And they always say, well, I have, but this time I brought so-and-so with me. And that makes me feel good, because that makes me know that they liked it enough to come back again.
Right. So is it finished?
It'll never be finished. It'll never be finished.
What's the last
thing
you did?
We can't expand anymore. Well, we did. The last thing we did was we put in a new brick patio with one of my husband's gas grills. And then we put in a stone patio with a white wrought iron table and chairs around it, and they're connected, so that's done. But we can't go out anymore. The neighbors have fences on both sides, so we've expanded as much as we can. We could take out more ivy, but I don't think we need to. Right now, my main concentration back there is weeding and cutting things back, because the ivy grows over the paths, and the forsythia gets big, and I have to cut it back, but nothing else needs to be planted.
How'd the garden do this year?
Garden did great. There's a lot more sun. A little more than 2.5 years ago, we had a wind shear come through, lost about 40 trees. And thanks to many members of the community, including the 2 who are interviewing me here, they helped us clear out some of the yard. It was right before the yard sale, and I needed help to clear out the yard just so I could have my yard sale, because there was so much stuff on it. And they came and helped me clear stuff out and really, really helped. But there's a lot more sun back there, so there are a lot more weeds, but other things grow too.
Well, you do so much for everybody and for the community. It was nice to be able to do something for you.
Pat, tell us about this house. So, is there anything particularly interesting about the history of the house?
Well, I love the house. We had been living in Station Road, a 2-family house, and Sally was never that happy living in a 2-family house. So we had always, you know, for years been looking. This was a for sale by owner. Sally was saw the sign. She was out Saturday morning. She was the first person, I think, to see the sign. And we were the first person to walk through it. And we kind of fell in love with the house right away, the woodwork. It dates back to about 1905.
What style would you say it is?
Four square. Uh-huh. I'm not an architect, but I think that's what they call it.
Yeah.
We were really attracted to the is all the original chestnut woodwork. Beautiful. And all the light fixtures are original too.
Oh, didn't know that. Okay.
So we've been here 23 years. We haven't done too much inside. Our work's been, you know, right. Back in the yard.
But you raised three kids here, right?
Raised three kids. It's a small house. It's 1.5 baths, technically 3 bedrooms, although my son lives in the attic now, and he likes it. It's a nice attic. It's not like he's banished up there or anything.
It's not the basement.
It's not the basement. And we share. Nobody ever complains about anything. The kids all did really well.
Right.
So yeah, tell us about the three of them. They're all grown. They're like 2 years apart, all of them?
About 2 years apart. John will be 26 in September. He's home. He's has a degree from Mercer County, and he's looking for jobs. Kelly is 28. She has a degree from Tufts in international relations, and she worked in D.C. for a while and in Madrid for a while teaching Spanish, and now she is in Bremen, Germany, undertaking another 4-year program to become a ship captain of a cargo ship.
How's that going?
It's going great. She had 26 weeks her internship in the North Sea in the winter, and it was very, very cold.
That doesn't sound great at all.
She said it was very, very hard. They worked every single day, that even Christmas Day, the people in charge of her ship found a port that didn't close on Christmas. So they worked every single day, but she liked it. She had her own room, her own bathroom. There were only 7 people on the ship. One was another female intern. And there were 2 German, a captain and co-captain, then 3 workers.
So I feel like I want to talk to her about like what made her want to do this. That's such an unusual thing.
I'm pretty sure what made her want to do it was the fact that the education is free in Germany, and she found this free program and she got into it. And
but why boats?
I don't know. I don't have a boat. We've never had a boat. She's never been on a large ship before.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be on a boat, I wouldn't want to be on a boat in the North Sea in the winter.
She did not want a cruise ship because she said it was too frou-frou. She really wants to captain a ship.
Kelly's always been very adventuresome.
Yeah.
She was like in second grade, and she goes, "Dad, Cranberry's boring. You know, when I go to college, I'm going to go to Colorado." She'd never been close to Colorado, but she was, really wanted to get away. And in high school, she had a few trips to South America. She just always wants to get out, see places. And I think if she stays in one place too long, she'll get bored.
She likes to learn the languages. She spent summer in France and learned French. She spent a summer in Turkey and learn some of their language.
She knows German then?
I would probably say she's fluent in German. She doesn't give herself that much credit, but the courses are taught in English. But she can definitely get along in German. When sometimes we talk to each other on the phone and she'll be in a store, she'll be talking German to the people in the store if she's buying something or whatever. So she's definitely fluent in Spanish. And she knows she took Italian in college, she knows Italian, or was it Portuguese?
I think Portuguese.
It was Portuguese. And she knows some Turkish and German now, so.
So have you actually seen her behind the wheel of the ship?
No.
Do you expect to?
I don't know. She said it's like a degree in engineering where you don't just have to go and design bridges. She said she could, with this degree, she could become a ship captain, or she could buy and sell ships, or she could teach. She could teach this stuff, so we're not sure what her next step will be. She loves learning. She loves, she just loves, she's always been a sponge for knowledge.
Well, she's a good writer. I'd love to read about her learning how to be a ship captain.
And then your other daughter must be the one who is hiking.
Elizabeth is 30. She is hiking. She started April 16th. It is now July 21st, and she's taken a couple breaks, but she's pretty much hiked straight through from Mexico. The trail goes to Canada. She knows she cannot make it to Canada because she starts her MBA at Berkeley in the middle of August. So she is actually taking a pre-course for Berkeley this week, Monday through Thursday, and then she'll hike again for a couple weeks and then go back to Berkeley.
So she's not stopping at Berkeley. She's going to hike past Berkeley and then come back.
I think so.
Yes. We would like her to cut the hike off. I think she's done enough, and she's got to get ready for school, but she still has in her mind, and when she gets something in her mind, she does it, and she wants to hike a bit more. She actually would like to get as far as Oregon.
But there are a lot of fires in Oregon right now, so I think that would be a problem anyway. She actually quit her job last year to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, and then they closed the trail. So she didn't have a hike and she didn't have a job, but she has an engineering degree from Princeton University, so she got a consulting job rather quickly. And that was fine, and then she did have plans to hike last summer with three other people, and this summer none of them could go, so she's hiking alone. But they meet people. They give out 50 permits a day, and she's met some really good friends, people that she hikes with, and she may not hike with them all during the day, but they all meet up at night, and they camp together at night. So
how often do they come back here, the girls?
They're coming for Christmas. Elizabeth came in April, right before she went on her trip, basically to bring me all of her clothes so that when she does find an apartment in Berkeley, I can mail them to her.
Yeah, it sounds like neither of them could be collectors, right? There's nowhere to put stuff.
No.
Kelly can collect their stuff for them.
Kelly does not like to part with things, so I have quite a few boxes in the basement marked Kelly's stuff. Elizabeth is really good about every time she comes home, she'll go through a box and get rid of things.
What do they think of the collections?
I think they've asked me several times which ones are valuable so that they'll know what to sell when I die. they don't have a problem with them,
but I
don't think they want them.
Yeah. Well, that's a new generation. They don't want stuff.
Yeah. And I'm very proud to say that I have passed on my yard sailing skills to my daughters. That Elizabeth called me a couple days ago, and she was in Berkeley, and she said, "Mom, what is that website you use for yard sales?" So I told her the two websites, and then I said to her, "Now, honey, remember, if you don't just like pay for one thing at a time, put it all together and, you know, and then try to bargain at the end." She says, "Mom, I learned from the best." Of course I'm going to do that.
Well, that's got to make you proud, right?
Well, they were not big shoppers. You know, we would go to the mall. I was talking to my husband about that tonight and to a friend today that in the winter months when he was working late, I would take the kids to the mall just because it was a place to go when it got dark at 4:30. But we would just go to the clearance racks and usually not buy anything at all.
Have you ever bought anything not on sale?
Yes, I have. It hurt. I think it probably hurt when I did, but I don't really need anything. Well, things that I needed, like I just bought my husband pickleballs for Father's Day, and I got them brand new.
Oh, good. Is that your sport these days, pickleball?
I started pickleball back Thanksgiving, and I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Need some competition, though.
Do you play here in Village Park?
Yes.
I was instrumental in getting the courts painted in Village Park and we have two nets there now. So I worked closely with the recreation department to get that. So all a person needs now is their paddle and balls to go and play.
I've seen people playing,
yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people.
It's a great sport.
Interested.
It's a great sport. I also, I don't know if you have any more questions, but I want to talk about some of my volunteering.
Sure, what are you doing?
I'm very active I'm on the chairperson of the Parks Commission in town, and so being on that, I also attend the Environmental Commission meetings and the Recreation Commission meetings. And I have built a trail in town, the Cranberry Brook Trail, that connects Yunami Woods to the Firehouse Road. Actually, my son and I also built the Yunami Woods Trail. I'm very active in the Women's Club. In the Women's Club, I am third vice president, which is membership chairperson.
I believe you were Woman of the Year a couple of years
ago.
modest.
I am chairperson of the Environment Department, which used to be Conservation and Garden of Change to Environment. I'm on the Ways and Means Committee, which makes money for the scholarships and for our operating fund. And I also started, this one I'm really proud of, I started the hiking focus group, where a lot of the women, we haven't been so active the past few months because it's been so hot, but we were going almost once a week, at least twice a month, on a hike in the area. And I would take these women who in the beginning said, I can't walk a mile. And then we would go these places and they would say, that was 4 miles? We did 4 miles, it didn't seem like anything. So I'm really proud of that. I'm very active in the Women's Club and I like that.
And if people want to see your hikes, they can find you on Facebook and you post about your hikes all the time.
I post about my hikes. I also post about my daughter's hikes on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Oh, that's on your site, not hers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she doesn't post them. She sends them to me and I put them on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sally's also head of the Parks Commission, and she's been doing that for a couple of years now.
Parks are looking good. I saw they just widened all the trails in the West property. Did you know that?
No, I did not see that, but I know they widened the ones behind the firehouse, and I know that they came through Heritage Park and they cut the low branches down, so I'm really glad that they're keeping up with all those.
Yeah, they're twice as wide now, which is good.
Good, I'll have to
staying away
out.
From ticks.
So, Sally, were you always so involved in cranberry groups? Like, did that start later?
Well, when I first moved to Cranberry, I didn't have any children. I didn't have, I was a full-time teacher, so I didn't have that much involvement in the town. But my goal in life was always to become I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to be a Girl Scout leader and a Weeblo leader and a CCD teacher. And I got to do 2 out of the 3. John was not into Boy Scouts very much, but I was a Girl Scout leader for 13 years. At one point, my troop had 32 girls in it. And at one point, I was the service unit manager, which is in charge of all of the leaders of all of Cranberry and East Windsor Girl Scouts. And I did teach CCD at St. Anthony's, our church in Hightstown.
What is CCD for people who don't know?
It's religious education.
Okay.
It does mean something, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Something catechism.
Yeah. So I've been very happy. I consider myself a happy person.
Where did you teach?
I taught in East Windsor for 10 years, and I was on the negotiating board, and I was in the middle of the salary scale, and it was tough back then. They were giving a lot of money to the teachers who had been there for a while, and they were giving a lot of money to attract new teachers. But the teachers in the middle were not getting much money. They weren't getting much of a raise. So I went to Princeton, and I taught in Princeton for 2 years. And then during those 2 years, I was married and pregnant with had my first child, and that was it for teaching. Then, much to my husband's dismay, who thought I would be a teacher forever, as soon as my first child was born, that was the end of teaching. And that's what I wanted. So I'm happy I got my life goal.
And Pat, what was your career?
Well, it's still going. I'm basically accounting, and right now I work for the IRS.
Ooh, auditing. Okay.
Listen, no, it's not bad.
That's a conversation stopper. I know. No, but I work with nonprofit organizations, so it's a less aggressive area of the IRS, and we actually look to help nonprofit organizations, you know, conform with the regulations.
So would that be just local ones or national?
Right now, you know, we don't do too many audits where we visit anybody. So, you know, I've been doing, you know, what we call correspondence audits, mm-hmm. You know, from Minnesota, you know, to New Jersey.
Okay. And you like the work?
Yes. Yes. 100% from home now. Uh-huh. So it's nice. You know, I always hated commuting, and
right.
Now it's zero commute, and it's nice to have your refrigerator handy and,
absolutely.
You know, play the music during the day.
Are IRS workers in general a happy bunch?
Yeah, I would say so. The government treats them pretty well.
Yeah. How do they feel about auditing people and finding things that shouldn't have been done, that kind of thing?
Well, that, I'm not in that area of the IRS, but yeah, that's part of the job to go after, you know, people that aren't paying what they should be paying.
Right.
So I think they accept that.
Yeah. It's not stressful particularly.
Well, I guess it could be a little stressful. Yeah. My area, I think, within the IRS, is I wouldn't want to work in another area. Uh-huh. I'm happy where I am.
Pat's really concerned about making sure that the companies that he audits pass this audit.
Uh-huh.
So if they're not doing something properly, he will help them find a way that they can
right.
change that and do it properly so they pass. He's not out to be the bad guy to anybody. He wants to make sure everybody pass. And he can't tell me what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He can't tell me any of the companies he works for. But I know that he works hard to get them to comply.
And most of the nonprofits have their hearts in the right place.
Sure.
And it's a lot of volunteers I'm actually dealing with. So they're not doing it for the money, but you know, for mm-hmm. the cause.
Okay.
So if both of you had to have picked a different career or a different way to have spent, you know, your adult life, what would you have done?
Center fielder for the New York Yankees. I just couldn't
coach
hit it.
For Princeton High School basketball. Yeah. Pat has an awesome shirt on.
It came from a garage sale.
What about you?
I like my life the way it is. I loved teaching when I was a teacher. I taught special ed. I had small classes. We did a lot of hands-on stuff. Not the ordinary things that you had to do in the regular class. I liked it. It was very challenging. I had a lot of behavior problems. I didn't. The children did.
Right.
And you did get burnt out after a while. So I thought things would be different when I went to Princeton, but it wasn't. Special ed kids are special ed kids everywhere, and they all need help. But I like being a mom, and I like volunteering, and I do drive senior citizens around now if anybody needs rides to grocery shopping or anything like that. And I don't have any client currently, but I usually start with a client that needs a ride somewhere, and I'll take them maybe once a month, and then it comes out to once a week, and then it comes out that I'm spending time with them at home and helping them with their meals or something. So I really bond with these clients, and I enjoy doing that.
There's a lot of senior citizens in Cranberry too.
Well, if you know anybody that needs a driver, I consider myself a driver. I start as a driver.
Oh, cute.
Let's do some favorites.
Favorites. Okay. Favorite restaurant within, what did we say, 15 minutes?
Pat and I don't go out to eat very often.
Takeout?
No, we very rarely do takeout.
All right. Favorite food?
I like seafood, and I like chicken parmesan and stuff like that.
And you like to cook, I believe.
I don't mind cooking. I am not a...
That was a long pause.
I am not an elaborate cook. I am not a bad cook. But I know how to follow a recipe, and I know how to add a couple little touches to make it.
Okay.
You know. Pat, you like to grill, apparently. Since
yes.
Yeah,
grills.
I'm a steak guy.
Pat likes steak and potatoes. Especially beer batter French fries, they're his favorite.
Beer batter French fries.
Hmm. Yeah.
McCain's beer batter French fries.
Okay. Yeah, that's his favorite.
And we were talking about favorites. You mentioned that you like CDs and music and all that. What types of music do you like?
It's kind of evolving. And I'm way, way behind the times. Today I was listening to, you know, music from 30 years ago, but it was new to me.
Uh-huh.
Mary Chapin Carpenter, who was a local girl, and Oh, that's great. Why didn't I hear this 30 years ago? But well, it's Cat Stevens' birthday today, and I listened to him, and you know, some of my favorites from back in the 70s.
And the reason why they're new to Pat is because he recently picked up these CDs at a yard sale.
Uh-huh.
So
it all comes back to the yard
right.
sale.
It all comes back to the yard sale. That's how we met. That's what keeps us together. Every once in a while, I bring him home a box of CDs or DVDs, and he's a happy man.
So I guess if you go on vacation, you go yard sailing or do something else?
Thrift shops. We'll stop
okay.
at thrift shops, yeah. If I visit my sister-in-law in Florida, we'll go to yard sales because she goes with me.
I've heard good thrift shopping down there in Florida because a lot of people, that's their last place they live, right?
Just as good up here.
Is it?
Thrift shops are good. Thrift shops are good.
Okay.
What about online shopping, like, you know, the same stuff you would buy at a yard sale or like thrift shops? Have you ever tried to sell online, or do you buy stuff online?
I don't so much buy stuff, but I do take advantage of some of the online free sites. For example, Buy Nothing Cranberry, and there's other ones where things are free. If I do need something, I'll look. Selling online, during the pandemic, I sold a lot online because I couldn't have my yard sale that year. So I sold a lot of stuff online, and that was great, through Facebook Marketplace. All of bicycles, all of Pat's old weights that he had, all the things that people couldn't get, because it all goes back to shipping with Kelly and shipping. The ports were all closed because of the pandemic. They wouldn't let people pick up or deliver their goods in the ports, so that's why there was such a shortage of things.
One funny story we have about yard sales. This is 29 years ago, and we were down, our house in Florida was vacant, so we went down. My oldest child was one at the time, and it was a Friday, you know, afternoon, 4:30, and people were gathered around for a happy hour, and she saw them in the distance, and she got all excited, and she goes, "Mommy, Mommy, yard sale."
She started jumping up and down when she saw people standing around a table. At a year old. Yes,
year.
That was my Elizabeth. So my kids have been going to yard sales ever since they were born.
So we like to end these by asking what you guys think you'll be doing like a year from now. What do you think?
I'm hoping that I'll be doing the same thing, that I'll be as healthy as I am to continue doing the same things. I continue my gardening, my volunteering. I hope to visit my daughter in Germany and my daughter in California by then.
Sounds good. You too?
I think I'll still be working. I'm 65 now. I think I'll work till 70, so I'll keep doing it, you know, as long as, you know, I'm healthy and I enjoy it. So I think I'll keep going and... yeah, we have a good life, I think, so.
Sounds like. Okay.
And I'd just like to apologize for the squeaking in the background. That is my daughter's bird, the one that's in Germany. Yes, we did inherit her cockatiel, so Cuckoo likes to talk a lot. She's a very happy bird, so if you heard any squeaking, that was Cuckoo.
Yeah, we often have weird external sounds during these, so.
Could be the first cockatiel, though. That's
yeah.
A
yeah.
welcome addition, I would say, yes. All right, thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Cranberry friends, if there's someone that you would like us to talk to on this podcast, email us your suggestion at knowthyneighborpodcast@gmail.com.
Know thy neighbor.